The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
This is the second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, in studio. Steve Elkins, somewhere down in the great state of the sandbar of Florida, God's waiting room. Hey, Steve, you there?
I am here.
You're here. Ah, boy. Continuing with this, I mean, this, I knew there was something wrong with this right from the start. But evidently, the detectives over there, now, generally speaking, we all know this, it's a thin blue line. They like to handle things in-house. They like to do their own investigations. And they just, you know, they just want to see justice. Well, justice for their own. Now, as reported last week, both informants, by the way, both of the investigators interviewed the case agent again and said he wrote down a different informant's name. That informant said he worked with a case agent on a buy on January 25th, but it was in a different house in the Third World Ward, about 5 miles from Harding Street. Both informants named, along with other informants the case agent had worked with in the past, were shown photos of Tuttle and Nicholas, the husband and wife that were killed, along with a dog, and their home. None recognized the couple or the home, according to investigators. As we reported last week, after this cop was suspended, professional investigator and champion of the police state, Houston Police Officers Union President Joe Gamaldi, doubled down on his claims that his hero cops did nothing wrong and alleged that a suspension had something to do with the officer's injuries. The department made the decision to relieve the officer of duty while a thorough investigation continues. Rumors will undoubtedly continue until the case agent is able to be interviewed. Unfortunately, his gunshot wound has resulted in him being incapacitated while surgeries continue. Any assumptions or conclusions made prior to the interview taking place are just that, assumptions. Now, this tyrant who called for silencing and going after those who push for police accountability is forced to eat his own words. And naturally, he's still reluctant to do so. If these allegations are true, it is certainly concerning and disturbing, said Gamaldi. But I want the public to know this does not reflect the hard work of the men and women of the Houston Police Department. Yes, it does. How can it not reflect on the Houston Police Department when your officers were in on the takedown and murder of a couple of innocent people? How does that not reflect on your department? Steve, trying to distance yourself from this by saying that this does not reflect on the hard work of the men. Hard work at what? Is killing people a hard job? Is it hard work?
Well, John, it's a club, and they protect their own. That's what's happening here.
Well, since this tragic incident unfolded last month, the Free Thought Project has been reporting that this raid was likely based on false information and that all of this would eventually be exposed. And they say, sadly, we were right all along with all of the neighbors, and it now appears that the innocent couple was murdered by the police because they lied. The truth will come out. Neighbor Sarah Sanchez, 42, said last week, it's not going to bring them back, but it's going to clear their names and bring justice. And she was right. Now, the question remains here of whether or not this cop will be charged with the murder of these two innocent people who did nothing wrong but to defend their home from armed invaders who kicked in their door, shot their dog. Will the other officers who unquestioningly took the word of this criminal cop be held accountable for their role in this murder? Or will the single cop be used as a scapegoat, be written off as a bad apple, and the taxpayers foot the bill? From the start, this case reeked of corruption and cover-ups. The couple was smeared by police and the media, called dirtbags, and those who questioned the official story were accused of waging a war on cops. Now that the department has admitted this couple was killed over their lies, will they still issue an apology? Even if they do apologize. No amount of groveling and atoning will ever bring back the lives of Dennis and Regina Tuttle. This is why the war on drugs needs to be brought to its knees now. And here's the report from KHOW in Houston. Sorry about that. There's an ad in here. Let me hit my mute. You know, this, by the way, we'll get around to Google scrubbing 400 links to sites. And guess who is part of that? What does it mean? Republicbroadcasting.org. You know, those flaky people. Yeah. All right. Here we go.
We have breaking news about that deadly drug raid that we've been covering for weeks.
Houston's police chief says the lead investigator on the case lied and could face criminal charges for doing so.
Investigative reporter Jeremy Rogalski has been tracking the trouble with this raid and has the very latest from police headquarters downtown. Jeremy.
Well, Reka and Ron, from the very beginning, that veteran narcotics officer claimed it was, in fact, a drug house full of heroin that they raided. But no heroin was ever found. And now, from these court documents, we know why.
Well, first of all, when you lie on an affidavit, that's not sloppy. That's a crime.
This is Al
Acevedo. Bombshell of an admission from Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo today that the case agent who led the drug raid at the Southeast Houston home last month is now under a criminal investigation.
There's a difference between lying about who did the buy and not doing a buy at all.
The case agent originally claimed an informant bought heroin from the home and observed large quantities of the drug inside. But new court documents indicate that never happened. Houston police interviewed all of the officers' confidential informants and all denied making a buy from the home.
If these allegations are true, it is certainly concerning and disturbing. But I would certainly want the public to know that this does not reflect the hard work of the brave men and women of the Houston Police Department.
Without a valid...
Now, that was Grimaldi. How this doesn't reflect on a Houston Police Department is way beyond understanding.
A search warrant, police may not have had the legal authority to enter the home in the first place. After they did, and after a shootout, five officers were hospitalized, and homeowners Regina Nicholas and Dennis Tuttle were killed.
I feel really badly for the Tuttle family because no matter what we find, there will always be a doubt.
What?
Now, despite the untruthful search warrant, both HPD and the Houston Police Officers Union maintain that the home was not targeted at random, that they were investigating an earlier 911 call about suspicious drug activity inside. Meantime, the Harris County District Attorney's Office pledges to present all evidence before a grand jury.
Now, Steve, aren't there a thing of phone records? When you make a 911 call, you don't think that that's recorded at the police department?
It is recorded.
So we should be able to find out very quickly who supposedly made that 911 call reporting drug activity at that house.
Yep. Sure we can.
This is like that
red flag law you were talking about. Just snitch on somebody and they don't even check it out. They just run with it.
Well, there is nothing to substantiate. And, gee, I wonder how the brothers in blue will feel about this laying in the hospital right now with bullet holes in them. You know, one of the cops, I guess, injured a knee. but the other ones were shot. Wonder how they feel about getting lit up by their lying compadre. If, and this is the assumption that they didn't know that it was the one guy that was in on this takedown. You know, I don't know about you, Steve. I put a value on my life, and I don't want to endanger my life unnecessarily. But if it's part of my job description that sometimes I might get into some touchy situations, I think both you and I would want to absolutely know that the action that I'm going to take that might end up in the loss of life, that you're on solid, truthful grounds before you take such an action.
Correct.
Yep. Well, apparently not. Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark.
Hey, bro.
Hello?
Can you not hear me?
That always throws me when somebody says, can you not? Yeah, I cannot hear you. No, I can hear you.
God bless you. And I guess I should have included with that judicial notice thing, let me know what you think. This is for review. And I saw it on your website. I'm like, I wasn't expecting you to do that. But I have an updated version that I think you're going to like even better. And when I send that to you, I have an apology about where I got basically, I had made my plans and got knocked upside the head, not big literally, but basically I had my plans rather knocked off track with an unexpected development a little while ago, and I apologize for that, but you know how it is. But the thing is, I had a document called a Spiritual Declaration of War against the Synagogue of Satan, and I want to be very clear right up towards the very top. The main point is, we're in agreement with Jews of good conscience. I was watching this guy, a Jewish, American first type person, saying, don't conflate Jews and Israelis with these criminal elements. We have no fellowship with them. We're pointing out their crimes because if we don't speak out against their criminality, we're party to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I want people to understand what you'd sent over, the judicial notice, I do not consent to admiralty jurisdiction.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you have...
I got a later version now, okay. And...
all right, well, send it along.
Send
it along, and I will post it up.
Yeah, well, I think that the main thing we need to understand is, I was talking with the sheriff's deputy at the Barto GOP, and he obstructed me from issuing, you know, trying to present a document to Congress critter Phil Gingrich, who's now receiving a pension from the people who really carried out 9/11, and I'm like, you know, well, this is not the venue, and that's all they have to say. They can't give me a morally legitimate reason other than it gets people upset when you know, these people are homogeneous in their mindset, and that's... But the thing is, when I spoke with him on a calmer moment, he said the answer is mutual accountability. I'm accountable to you, but you're also accountable to me. And he said, you know, that makes sense. And the police, they're not law enforcement if they're not accountable to the people. And I think that's one of the major functions that I'm planning on drafting an article explaining what the duties of the militia are, including holding the government accountable. And the integrity of the ballot is not just making sure we have tangible, legitimate ballots, but also making sure that we don't have any collusion where our only choices are the Demopublicans or the Republicrats. Because that's the one thing, the answer to so many things that's gone wrong with our system is honest competition. And we need to have an honest competition between the two major parties, because when they collude to obstruct alternative parties from being given a fair shot, that's not a republic. A republic means a rule of law. And I guess you're tired of this. Well, we elect people who represent us. That's a republic. And I'm like, have you actually read Plato's Republic? And that's where I get these dumb looks. I guess you've been there too, right? You know, like, oh, well, wait a minute, that's all there's, so all the communist countries where you can vote for this communist or that communist, they're a republic too. What? And that's the thing is, I was just doing some net, you know, listening to some netcasts and podcasts on YouTube, and Plato was a student of Socrates, and what got Socrates killed was he had a habit of asking probing questions to get people to stop and think, and they were really getting tired of him asking people to stop and think, why do you do it this way? And, you know, have you considered there might be another way? And I was like, oh, shut up. So, you know, I'm looking at going into the GOP political process again, and I think this time I'm going to put it in writing and say, here it is. I don't want to be pushy about this, but I do want to get Socratic on you people and get you to stop and think and question, why are you people keep making the same mistake over and over again? Anyway, you have a blessed day, John. You're in my prayers.
Thank you, Mark. I'm just not on his donation list. giant list. Now, I found this rather fascinating. You know, with these Kentucky school kids with the MAGA hats on and supposedly this Indian drum beater was, yeah, okay.
Nathan Phillips, yep.
Yeah, well, I saw an episode on CNN where one of the panelists said, you know, this, you know, why are we so quick to jump to judgment without checking our facts? I about fell over. I thought, is CNN that devoid of money? Have they lost so much audience that they're willing to start walking back a few things? Well, they better start walking back at a very fast pace. Brian Stelter and CNN work overtime to pretend the mainstream media didn't uncritically promote Jussie Smollett's absurd hate crime in a giddy rush to frame Trump supporters as violent. Journalist and photographer Andy Niho was pushed back. In a running thread of hate crime hoaxes that the MSN either uncritically reported or gave little attention to once the truth came out, Niho lists hoax after host designed to smear conservatives. And his is at Mr. Andy NGO. I think that's Niho. Sorry, folks, but how would you pronounce it? NGO is last name?
That sounds like all right. Niho.
Niho?
Yeah.
Probably. On February 17th, he posted this. Right after Donald Trump's election, the SPLC really stoked panic. A pro-gay Episcopal church in Indiana was vandalized with a Heil Trump, a swastika, and an anti-gay slur. Turns out it was the gay organ player who did it. He was only charged with a misdemeanor. Now, if you go to republicbroadcasting.org, folks, all these stories are annotated. So in case you want to gather the evidence for yourself before it's scrubbed or conveniently forgot about, please feel free to do so. Next one here. Days after the Pittsburgh massacre, Trump supporters were blamed for Nazi vandalism at Brooklyn Synagogue and fires in a Jewish community. Remember this one? Turns out the perpetrator was a gay black man who had worked with the city council on an initiative to fight hate crimes. So this guy goes out there, stages this stuff, and there's no walking this back. There's no correction. I love how the newspapers used to put corrections buried deep within the newspaper someplace. And, yeah, we're required by our ethics and our standards to, yeah, but we'll hide it and we won't do an article about how wrong we were. There's another one. Arrest made after anti-Semitic graffiti cancels political event, classes at Brooklyn Synagogue. Before the arrest, NYPD Chief of Detectives Dermot Shea revealed the police were looking for a man caught on the surveillance cameras at the temple. Guess who it was? The aforementioned. Wow. Here's another one. 1 week before the presidential election, a black church in Mississippi was burned in an arson attack. Vote Trump was written on the building. After much panic and investigation revealed that the man responsible was the church member himself, Andrew McClinton. And these are all annotated, folks, so go read for yourself. In November of 2016, a Muslim student at the University of Louisiana said two white racist Trump supporters brutally assaulted her, ripped off her headdress, and robbed her. The story went viral. It was a lie. Media never identified her by name after hoax was revealed. Oh, I got more, folks. Oh, gosh. This is a place where you find the truth, and if we report an error, we correct our mistakes. We don't bury them.
Yes, we do.
We'll be back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Remember this one, Steve? Remember that Trump and his supporters were blamed for a spate of anti-Semitic KKK and Nazi graffiti on the campus of Nassau Community College in Long Island?
I do. I was going to bring that up if you didn't, but yeah, I do remember that one. It was a 19-year-old Jewish student there, and nothing ever happened to him.
His name is Jaskiat Sani. He was the one who was responsible for doing it. Yeah. In December of 2016, a Muslim woman said she was attacked by three white Trump supporters in New York City on a subway. She said they tried to rip off her headdress. Yeah. Well, Yasmin Sued lied. CARE said Muslims are under tremendous stress and pressure resulting in incidences like this. And she was 18 years old, claimed that three men attacked her on a Manhattan subway and tried to pull off her headdress, her scarf. September 2018, a black woman in Long Island said Trump supporters confronted her and told her she didn't belong here. Her car tires were slashed the next day, and a hateful note was left behind saying, go home. Well, it turns out that Andwa Lewis, made up the whole story. In November of 2018, students at Goucher College demanded social justice training and safe spaces after racist Nazi and KKK graffiti was found on campus. Someone even wrote the names of the black students, and Trump was blamed. Well, Flynn Arthur was the black student who was responsible for that one. More than 100 African-American Goucher College students conducted what they termed a blackout on the Towson campus all day Friday to protest the most recent episode of hate-filled graffiti. Now, are they stupid or, you know, you just want to swim with the school? I don't know. In 2017, St. Olaf College was roiled by mass protests in response to anti-black notes found across campus. Class was canceled and administrative people caved into demands. An investigation found that Samantha Wells, a black victim of one of the notes, fabricated the whole incident. In November 2016, Philadelphia neighborhood was rattled when property was vandalized with pro-Trump and anti-black messages. William Tucker was identified as the vandal through CCTV footage. And he's black, folks. The story didn't mention that, but it did. In November 2016, a black female student at Villanova University in Pennsylvania said a group of white men yelling Trump knocked her to the ground on campus. However, a police and university investigation was halted because the student didn't want to pursue the matter. I wonder why. She was lying. Villanova University has ended its probe into the report of the black female student who allegedly was knocked down by young white males yelling Trump because the student doesn't want to pursue the, and then they just leave a trail off. And that came from Philly.com. In November 2017, near Kent State University, a black man's car was vandalized with racist messages. Class was canceled and students held demonstrations. Dontarius Williams later admitted to police that he did it himself. And the police didn't charge him. Now, Steve, you lie to cops. What did they do?
They rough you up.
Well, they get you for lying. They'll charge you with providing false information to the police. Now, they can lie to you, but you can't lie to them. But I'm not using that in this particular instance. The point is, they didn't do anything because the guy lied. Now, this possibly could have caused a dangerous situation on campus. But they decide, rather than setting the standard by saying, you know what, you do false stuff like this, you stir up a campus, you shut the damn thing down, you might endanger people's lives. If you want to concoct a lie like that, you're going to pay the full penalty for it. And that's, Steve, that's what nobody is being held accountable for any of this stuff. They're just letting it roll off their back like water off a duck's back.
Yeah, that police union's pretty damn strong, John.
In autumn of 2018 at Kent State University, a note was left on an apartment that read, "Beware, niggers, live here." And I only use that term in the body of this story. Folks, I'm not that politically correct that I will not report what's being said for the sake of the story. Now, the sign read, "Knock at your own risk." The victim admitted to police that he did it himself, and this was the second time he had fabricated hate incidents in 2 years. Evidently, nobody looked at the reports on this because they would have realized, this character did this once before. University of Michigan student Haley Bass told police a Trump supporter attacked her by scratching her face in November of 2016. She said she was targeted for wearing a pin in support of UK Remain. As her story fell apart, she admitted to scratching herself. She eventually confessed that she had cut her own face after getting out of her women's literature class. I don't know what the hell women's literature class is, but yeah. Who remembers when Trump was blamed for the spate of death threats to Jewish community centers across the United States? Juan Thompson, a reporter who worked for The Intercept, was convicted for the hoax and threats, plus other offenses. I got more, but I think that's enough, don't you think?
Well, I've got some for you when you come back after this break.
Okay. Yep. Let's
you're
do
laugh
that.
At, you're going to laugh at this.
All right. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Steve, what did you have?
Well, the day after the 35-day shutdown ended, the Democrats came out and they were blaming Trump for evidently a rare whale and eight dolphins were found dead in the Everglades. And I thought, are you serious? They were blaming Trump because of the park rangers were furloughed. And I think it's more like a submarine doing sonar out there that confused a whale and eight dolphins to end up in the Everglades. I can't imagine. I've been in the Everglades before, and I can't imagine seeing a whale in the Everglades. I mean, there's crocs everywhere, gators everywhere, and you look over and you see a big damn whale swimming around in the Everglades with the gators and the dolphins.
I don't think so. Whales swim in salt water.
They ended up in the Everglades.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's Trump's fault, though.
Larkin, Texas. Hello, Lark.
Well, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, Lark.
Quick note on this word, socialism, and a general reminder. You know, in 1884, the Fabian Society was chartered by the Crown. And thereafter, they soon had chapters at every American university. And on YouTube, you can watch a video tutorial. It's entitled, A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. The Fabian Society, Communitarianism, and the New World Order. Nice introduction. Now let's go to this word socialism. You know, the late Ludwig von Mises Chicago School, the Libertarian, the Mises Institute. His most famous book, his magnum opus, was entitled Human Action. For the listeners, you can go on YouTube and you can watch. You don't have to read this book. You can have someone read it for you. It's called Human Action, Chapter 33, Syndicalism and Corporativism. Now, interestingly, those words, syndicalism and corporativism, are also easily found at a website called Marxist.org. So here's what I want to say. First of all, this word syndicalism, and what is it? Syndicalism is a type of socialism. Whereas the Marxists wanted to rile up the proletariat, the poor folks, and get them to grab their pitchforks and raise holy hell in front of the temples of the day, the palaces and so forth, to unseat the monarchs and the oligarchs, etc. The Fabians had a better idea. They would incorporate or co-opt the professional classes. Because remember, syndicalism is not just about trade unionists that are blue collar. They're also white collar, professional class. Okay? People that are university trained, educated, and work in the professions. The Fabians decided that they could accomplish their mission of world dominion much more effectively if they could get the smart people that came out of universities to unwittingly join their cause. And that's why when we toss around words like, let's remember that a syndicalist organization is not just the Wobblies from the 30s under FDR. It also is groups like the U.S. Conference of Mayors, the National Governors Association, the American Medical Association, American Dental Association, the American Bar Association. These are syndicalist or socialist trade groups. This is important for people to recognize, because when they rebranded communism and capitalism and called it communitarianism, that's what we live under today. We live under a variant of socialism which combines corporatism, fascism, British mercantilism, which is also known as free trade today, and communism. So that's what I wanted to insert in the discussion today. And as far as the cops, all you have to do is just look up Yevgeny Primakov and Marcus Wolf. These were consultants to the DHS, Department of Homeland Security. And who are all the sheriffs, the county sheriffs, and the metropolitan chiefs of police beholden to? But the Department of Homeland Security. And these men, too, belong to syndicalist trade associations. So guess what they are? They're socialist by definition. Every governor of this country, as members of the National Governors Association, signed on to Common Core and its variants. Every one of them. So what does that make them? Republican or Democrat, independent, doesn't matter. They are syndicalist. They are socialist. So here is the wolf in sheep's clothing, gentlemen. Remember, it's not what you think, it's not what you say, but what do you do? And these behaviorists, these sociologists, these political scientists that come out of the universities, they know this because they think of the human population as little more than a bunch of ants scurrying around in an anthill. They just like things orderly.
Lark, as always, you're on the job. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
You too.
Taking notes here.
You know, I've said that this government is, it's communist and socialist, it's fascistic, it's corporatist, it's, you know, I don't like isms or ist, but there's this weird blend of, you know, this totality that's coming from the Fed end, and it's like, wait a minute here. You know, they'd better be careful of what they're throwing around out here, because now I'm starting to see stuff come out of people like Nadler's mouth, talking about the Constitution, and God forbid, Nancy Pelosi, that her brother-in-law got guaranteed $760 million, got an unsecured loan from the government. How does this stuff happen, folks? Is this nepotism or is this outright threat by a bunch of crooked people that are occupying the seats in Washington, D.C.? I think the public, even though all of this stuff is being spun, Steve, the public is getting a pretty clear picture. And they're not liking it. Pat in Texas. Hello, Pat.
Hi. I heard you talking a while ago about fake news where people were doing, you know, painting their own cars and stuff. I remember when they got the hate crimes law passed here, what really pushed it over was a black church got painted with brush, I think, and racial slurs on the wall outside. And then they started checking around, and they said, have you used any paint around here? And they said, yeah, we were painting inside. It turned out it was their own paint, and their own kids had done it. And admitted it, but it didn't stop the hate crimes law. So
yeah,
wrong conclusions.
Yeah, and but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say something to James because I couldn't get on last night.
I'm sorry. To say to whom?
James Kelsey there.
Oh, James Kelso. Oh, okay. You'll have to you'll have to wait. You'll have to wait 18 minutes to do that because James follows this program. All right, Pat. I appreciate your call.
Not Kelsey. What is James from Orlando's last name? It's a lot of Kels around there. I get all mixed up.
I don't know what you're referencing.
The nurse. No,
you're talking
Orlando.
About me. You're talking about me.
Yeah,
it's not James. Steve, introduce yourself to Pat.
Oh, that's right. Steve.
Okay. Elkins. There you go.
Okay.
I'm a morning person, sorry. But I wanted to say, he said he didn't know why. You said, I don't know why Trump has just now started to get serious about the wall, and that makes me not trust him. But that's not true. He started as soon as he went in office. It was in the newspapers. January 2017, he started.
Well, he had the full Congress. He had the House and the Senate, and he should have moved much faster before it changed hands with the elections. And to me, he missed a great opportunity to get this thing. But now he's got obstacles. Now he's going to go to the courts. It's going to be shoved over to the Ninth. It's going to be shoved over to the Supreme Court. This thing is going to be tossed around for a while, and time is wasted when you get this wall built. He missed a good opportunity.
Yeah. But they said Bush didn't do anything, but when he started doing the 60 miles of wall that he did have to do, he ran it. You know, there's all these tree huggers around there, the ones that says, oh, no, you can't do that. It'll destroy this here little minnow or something. Well, what happened? He did it. They did it anyway. It was they built a wall on top of a solid wall they already had there because they wanted to keep the Rio Grande Valley from flooding, and it flooded 7 years ago. They said there were hundreds of shells of tortoises around. Well, see, that's our problem. We got to go through all of that kind of crap to get things done, you know? Who cares about the valley getting flooded, right?
Right.
So anyway, I was wondering, why can't each state be responsible for its own? I mean, aren't we citizens of a state, not United States citizens?
Well, yeah.
That's a great idea.
We're
I don't mean pay for it. I don't mean pay for it. But, see, Pelosi, she messed up because she kept saying, I don't care where the money's coming from. If you just have to have our permission to do it because it's the United States of America, whatever. But when she gave them 55 miles and 8 miles, it seems to me like she gave up the right to say, you can't build a wall. And so now all he has to do is build it.
And he's going to do exactly that. You heard what I said earlier. We're going to have five more years of Donald Trump. I just cannot wait to see what's in store in the next 5 years. Pat, thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. I wanted to get to this. Now, this might seem off the track, but it's really not. This may cause Mr. Goodell, his presidency of the NFL here. This is actually coming from our friends over at Zero Hedge. Now, Colin Kaepernick. Steve, what do you know about Colin Kaepernick?
Isn't he the first one to start the not showing respect for the American flag during the
kneeling when he was playing for San Francisco
national anthem? Right.
Well, Colin Kaepernick, you ready for this? This is what's going to cost Roger Goodell his job. Colin Kaepernick received between $60 and $80 million in an out-of-court settlement with the NFL. According to NFL columnist Mike Freeman, who tweeted on Friday, number NFL team officials are speculating to me that the NFL paid Kaepernick in the $60 to $80 million range. While the exact terms of the settlement have not been revealed, Kaepernick's attorney, Mark Garagos, released a statement following Freeman's tweet, noting that the terms of the agreement are subject to confidentiality agreement. For the past several months, counsel for Mr. Kaepernick and Mr. Reed have engaged in an ongoing dialogue with representatives of the NFL. As a result of those discussions, the parties have decided to resolve the pending grievances. The resolution of this matter is subject to confidentiality agreement, so there'll be no further comment by any party.
So Kaepernick violated his oath, his contract, by being political. He's not supposed to be political at work. The only job you can be political at work is this job right here. Other than that, you cannot be political at work. I can't go to the hospital, get on a soapbox, and say, hey, everybody, these are my politics. I'm going to get fired for that. Well, he violated his oath, his contract, and he's rewarded for it now.
Well, and Colin Kaepernick, when he played for San Francisco, he was a younger man. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these quarterbacks, they're scramblers. They're scramblers because they can't read defenses. They can't go, okay, it's a passing play, here's my number one. Okay, that's covered. Number two, that's two. They do their reads of the defense, and they throw accordingly. This is something that Kaepernick never developed into a full-fledged quarterback. The National Football League Players Association came out and said, today we were informed that the NFL of the settlement of Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed collusion cases. We are not privy to the details of the settlement, but support the decision by the players and their counsel. We continuously support Colin and Eric from the start of their protest, participated with their lawyers throughout the legal proceedings, and were prepared to participate in the upcoming trial in pursuit of both truth, justice, and for what we believe the NFL and its clubs did to them. We are glad that Eric has earned a job and a new contract, and we continue to hope that Colin gets his opportunity as well. As Breitbart's Dylan Gwynn notes, perhaps this is why Kaepernick refused to play in the Alliance of the American Football for anything less than $20 million. Now, I saw that story yesterday, and I went, Now, the Alliance of the American Football, this is another organization they brought up that looks like it's pretty much doomed to fail, but who is there are wannabes that never were drafted in the NFL or NFL players that have been dropped by other clubs and they can't get jobs elsewhere. So evidently, this guy was offered, he wanted a contract for $20 million, and it's not known if that was for a year or multiple years, but even then, the guy wasn't worth it. And was Colin Kaepernick, would you say that this is a little bit too much for NFL owners to take on? If I'm an owner of a club, guess what? I'm the owner of a football franchise. And like anything else, I decide who I'm going to hire and who I fire. No committees can intervene in that. I am the owner of a club. I am putting a product on the field, whatever brand name that it's carrying. If I'm an owner of a club, these are my decisions. But Kaepernick, this guy, you know, he always said, believe in something. You saw those Nike commercials during, yeah. You believe in something? Well, somebody put another cap on that. Believe in something until you settle out of court. This, as I said, Roger Goodell, payouts to people that are just troublemakers? No, this is not going to go well. Here's the guy that decided to put pink on football players a few years ago. Remember that one?
I do.
Yeah. And this is referencing, oh, we're in support of cancer, this, that, and the other. Keep the politics the hell out of your football. You watched the numbers, both on television and in actual stadium attendance, fall dramatically. And these clubs, these owners, didn't want to take on people. I mean, they just didn't want to take on liability that their fans were going to disagree with.
Right.
You know? I mean, geez.
Kind of lacking spine. You know, I look to a quarterback to be a team leader, to increase morale on the team. And this guy here was a morale killer, and I wouldn't have hired him either. And, you know, that's the right of a team owner to hire people to bring morale to the team, to be leader on his team because he wants to win. He played politics, and to me, he's been rewarded now. And unfortunately, it shows no courage, no spine from the league itself to do that.
Even his mother came out against Kaepernick. You know, most people didn't realize that his mother was white. And she admonished him, and she did it publicly when all this stuff was going down. And she said, I don't know what he's saying. I don't get it. This guy, I have never seen any prejudice against Colin Kaepernick. I don't know where this stuff is coming from. Well, some say it came out of police abuses, and you know, that's the reason for going out and kneeling on the football field. You know, rather than using notoriety from a good NFL quarterback as a little side outside of football, he's got the notoriety, he can go speak, get interviewed, say whatever he wants to say. But no. He had to do this on the field with other players. This guy is a cancer, and I wouldn't hire him to sell beer in the stands. I don't care.
Well, it's misdirected. If that's his beef is with police brutality, then wouldn't it be better served to maybe pick at the police station or something? I mean, that would make more, a hell of a lot more sense than to say I'm not going to respect the U.S. flag and the servicemen, and you know, it's that makes no sense.
And the rap that was against Colin Kaepernick is what I started to say earlier about his understanding and reading defenses. If you can't do that in the NFL, and if you don't have a wall built in front of you, talk about a wall, these guys are going to get you. They're going to put you in the dirt repeatedly. And when that happens with quarterbacks, they don't last too long. But he was known in the league as check down Kaepernick. In other words, he wouldn't let the plays develop. He was kind of skittish in the pocket. He wasn't that good of a quarterback. So ergo the name check down. He would just throw short little dump passes. You know, if the terms are not to be discussed in the payout, if the $60 to $80 million to make Colin Kaepernick go away, as much as I disagree with the payoff of this clown, thank you. I'll never hear about Colin Kaepernick again. Please tell me that's going to be the case. Please. Lenny in California. Hello, Lenny.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Hi.
I pretty much agree with what you said about Kaepernick, but basically he was just the first in 100 monkey effect of the players being weaponized against Trump for being elected.
Yeah.
So, you know, so basically he was paid for a job well done. And also what you were reading out about the so-called hate crime perpetrators, the fake perpetrators, the crime is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice now, we're mentioning the phrase hate crime.
Yep.
Okay, so that was the agenda. So, you know, basically what you have is the 85% who will not think for themselves. When you see someone doing a cold water bucket challenge being dumped on the head, 85% isn't going to ask why they're doing it. They just go do it. They don't think.
Yeah.
Okay? They just follow the functionaries. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Elkins, I would like to get to something you did yesterday that was very important. Very important. Right. Thanks to you and the show you presented yesterday, I was able to red pill let's just say, a Christian Zionist who's no longer a Christian Zionist. I had been wrestling with him for 2 years over that, and I had come across the information before, but I had lost it, and I was presenting it to him. But it was when you presented the documentary, the 29-minute documentary, and little did he know, and little did I know, in that documentary was a professor that he both and I were under the tutelage of at one time. And it was that professor that came out against the Scofield Bible, a Bible that has more footnotes than it does verses.
Right.
Okay? And it was brilliant, and when I was able to call him this morning, because he's in charge of a lot of minds and a lot of souls every Sunday, at least two times on Sunday and one time on Wednesday. But when he called me back this afternoon, that's just safe to say he's no longer a blue pill preacher.
Wow. All right? Well, good, good. Hey, do me a favor. Go to that website, whttweholdthesetruths.org, and find that clip and send that to many people. Because, yes, that was an awesome documentary. I learned a lot. I think that was a good clip to play.
And Lenny, why I got you here, send your friend just to bolster this. Let us not allow him to weaken. NKUSA.org.
NKUSA.org?
NKUSA. NKUSA.org. And that'll put the icing on the little cake that you baked that you've been working on for 2 years. Whatever happens that wakes people up, whether it's through Steve Elkins' program or another program on this network or anybody else that is seeking the truth, and they want people just to wake up and see things for what they actually are. Lenny, I congratulate you for your vigilance.
Thank you, Lenny. Thank you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I mean, we're all in this together. Now, you know, like I said, the 85% is going to be what they are, but you got the 15% of alphas and the 5% of leaders.
Yep.
You got them on the evil side, and you got them on the good side.
Yep.
We're going to be who we are, okay? And I look at this Smollett thing. It's just pathetic.
It
but
is.
But when one of your fellow radio hosts, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, when he talked about the blackness of Kamala Harris being in question, it had nothing to do with color, okay? What we're talking about is she human enough? It's like Putin is white enough that he's not going to sell out his fellow Russians.
Mm.
I agree with that, okay? When I heard Smollett says that he's the gay Tupac, hell, Tupac has more spine in the clipping of his fingernail than what Smollett has in his entire body.
Oh, man. Lenny, I thank you for your call. Thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. You know, there's a lot of people out there that want to see positive things happen, and the only thing that you're positively going to make a change with is to positively get up off your backside and get involved. Just like Lenny did. I don't know of anybody offhand that would chase somebody for 2 years trying to tell them, hey, look, you know, I've been trying to get through to you. Finally, it yields, and fruit is born. I'm very glad to hear that. Steve, thanks for joining me today, sir.
I am. Thank you. As seed takes root, I am very happy.
Yeah. Keep it watered and keep it going. All righty.
Yes, sir.
And thank you, folks, for being here today. Folks, it is coming up to the end of the month. We still got more bills than we ever have money. Please help support this network. Please. We'll see you tomorrow.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.